I'm Sonia DuBell with Graham Hancock in Bath, England. Graham is a phenomenal author, having written many, many books, having researched for 30 years. And really today we're going to talk about consciousness and his own personal journey. Hi, Graham.
Hi, good morning.
So lovely to be here. Good morning. So what I really wanted to ask you was about your personal experience with this shift in consciousness when you began writing Supernatural and your first journey with ayahuasca.
Okay.
Could you talk a bit about that?
Well, I suppose to put that in context, I need to say where I was before
Absolutely.
I began writing Supernatural and before I began to work with ayahuasca.
Yes.
As a writer, tried to bring as much reason and analysis and fact-based study as I can to any subject that I'm investigating. You know, back in the 70s and 80s, I was just totally in that line. I was into current affairs. I was a journalist. I was investigating economics and politics and wars and famines. This was my kind of subject area.
Yeah.
But I began to get opened up during the 1980s into the intriguing area of historical mystery.
Mm.
It kind of crept up on me.
Yeah.
And I began to realize that there was a mindset in our society that was over-dominated by reason and by rational materialism.
Mm.
And that with that mindset, we can sometimes miss things. So I began to open myself up to mystery, but at the same time to try to explore those mysteries in as reasonable a way as possible.
Yes.
And when I came to write Supernatural, which was quite late in my personal journey, I'd written books like Fingerprints of the Gods, The Sign of the Seal, Heaven's Mirror, and so on and so forth before then, I really started off being interested in the mystery of human origins,
but I'm
wanting to explore that.
Mm.
But then I discovered that there had been this extraordinary moment in the human story, and relatively recently, when mankind suddenly began to create art, and we get the great cave art of southern Europe and petroglyphs and rock art, indeed, all over the world, all of which have extraordinary similarities.
Mm.
And that's where I felt the mystery lay. Why are there these similarities between unconnected cultures?
Mm.
Not only unconnected geographically, but unconnected historically too. They're thousands of years apart. What was going on here?
Yes.
And I found that the best possible explanation for this was that these works of art that transformed our ancestors, because truly humanity went through a transformative process when we began to make art. It affected every area of the human story. That what lay at the root of this was shamanism and shamans' experiences, which they then documented in the form of art. And these, as I began to investigate shamanism, I discovered that all shamanism, all the world over, has a common factor.
Yeah.
And that common factor is altered states of consciousness. Not the rational, problem-solving state of consciousness with which we meet the material world.
Yeah.
But a very different, radically different state of consciousness, often brought on by the ingestion of visionary plants. And I realized that there was a way that I could do what I always like to do, which is to put myself and my own experience directly into the story I'm investigating. Here again was a way that I could get in contact with those ancients. They had experienced altered states of consciousness to produce those works of art.
Yeah.
And there are still shamans in the world today who are exploring altered states of consciousness and producing works of art, particularly in the Amazon. And that's when I first heard about ayahuasca, the vine of souls, or the vine of the dead. Now, I had no particular interest in visionary plants prior to this. They just hadn't really crossed my path.
Yeah.
But the moment that I realized that here was a way of accessing the shamanistic experience, I knew that I had to have that experience myself. So I arranged to go down to the Amazon, to Peru, and to drink ayahuasca with shamans. But the moment that I began to work with, I mean, ayahuasca is hard work. It requires...
It's not recreational.
It's not recreational. Yeah. It requires a real effort of will. The taste of the brew is very intense and some find quite unpleasant. Wow. I find it unpleasant. It's a horrible taste. Mm. And the effects on the body are quite grueling in the sense that you have vomiting, you have diarrhea. It's called the purge in the Amazon for very good reasons. You know, dealing with all of that psychologically took a little bit of effort on my part, that I was going to be prepared to put myself through that
for research
through that kind of ordeal.
Yeah.
The moment that I began to work with ayahuasca, I found that I was in the hands of an intelligence and of a teacher, and this was a stunning revelation to me, that I wasn't simply dealing with chemicals contained in plants. I was dealing with something that was sentient.
A spirit, definitely.
And this is exactly, of course, how it's construed in the Amazon. The great spirit, lies behind the ayahuasca vine, very often conceived as female. In some cultures, they see the spirit as male, but in the majority of cases, it's a female spirit, which is seen to have harnessed these plants in order to gain access to humanity. That spirit cannot communicate with us when we are in the normal, alert, problem-solving state of consciousness. We are too locked in and closed off by the world, by the material world, by this particular narrow band and level of reality that we... it's so difficult to escape.
Yeah.
We are focused and homed in on that state of reality. And we tend to imagine that there are no other realities beyond that. But what a mistake that is, as
your whole journey of life has shown. And you know, it's such a narrow consciousness.
The everyday state of consciousness is very narrow. It has its uses, it's important, it's valuable, but we make a mistake if we think that's all there is to reality. And if we want to explore the true majestic scope of the totality, then we need to be willing to alter our state of consciousness. And this is what these ancient plants and ancient shamanistic technologies offer us the opportunity to do. These shamans have been working in a very intelligent way with these plants for thousands and thousands of years. And we should respect their endeavor and their knowledge, because this is applied knowledge designed to allow us to escape the routine, alert, problem-solving state of consciousness, and to enter other states of consciousness where we may experience other realities. Of course, mainstream materialist science will tell you that these other realities do not exist. They will say that it's simply your brain on drugs, and that there's nothing more to it than that. And many of them say that without ever having had these experiences themselves. And this is primarily because they are so locked in.
Indoctrinated
by the materialist frame of reference. And when I hear scientists talking like that, I'm reminded of how it was in the Middle Ages before we had optical glass, where if you were to suggest that there were tiny, invisible animalcules, little creatures, which were swimming around in our blood and were causing us to be ill, they would have said to you, complete nonsense.
Yeah.
Of course it's not that. It's the bad air or the bad water. It's not anything like a small creature swimming around in your blood. But once we had developed the lenses that would actually enable us to see those creatures, which are called bacteria, our understanding of reality widened. And of course everybody accepts that now. It's a perfectly normal part of our reality. And I think it's the same with the visionary plants. I think we just need to make a shift in understand what's going on here, because what is going on here is that the visionary plants are refocusing the mind. They're altering, if you like, the receiver wavelength of the mind, rather as a microscope enables us to look at something very small and otherwise invisible. This is like a digital zoom inside the mind, which is enabling us to see a reality that is always there, but that is not normally accessible to our senses.
How would you say your life changed after you started on that journey?
I became much more reflective and much more conscious of my impact on others. This was the fit. There were many, many changes.
Yeah.
I began with ayahuasca as a research project. I've ended up with ayahuasca as an essential part of my life, an essential discipline to which I subject myself every year, if possible.
Yeah.
And when I go to South America for ayahuasca sessions, I will typically plan to have 5 sessions over a period of 2 weeks so that I can enroll myself again properly in this school.
The University of the Soul,
yeah. Because that's what's going on here. So there's many different levels. First of all, there's the realization that reality is much more complicated and much more mysterious than I could ever possibly have imagined, and that there's a whole unseen realm out there,
yeah,
which reveals itself to me and to others, and it has consistencies like any reality.
Yeah.
Others who've worked with ayahuasca report similar experiences and similar encounters and similar entities encountered in those realms. So there's this vast, enchanted, magical realm that surrounds us and which we have been shut down from by the society that we live in. That realization in itself
is huge.
It's an enormous and a stunning revelation.
Yeah.
And it causes you to question everything that you've taken for granted.
Yes.
As I said, ayahuasca has been incredibly important to me personally,
yeah,
in transforming my view of life.
Yes.
And hopefully the way that I act on the world.
Yes.
But I know it has been for many others as well. But by saying that, I don't want to put down other ways of gaining access to the magical, enchanted, unseen realms that surround us.
Yeah.
And there are many, many other ways. And
yeah,
it's interesting that almost all of these ways, you know, yeah, whether it's yoga, whether it's rhythmic dancing, whether it's various forms of meditation, almost all of them come down to us from deep antiquity.
Yeah.
They have hugely ancient ancient origins,
yeah,
and there are so many different systems. I know that some people dislike the idea of using what they think of as a drug to get,
yeah,
into altered states of consciousness, and I've heard many people comment, you know, that's too easy, that's not natural, you know, you have to work incredibly hard to get these experiences. Yes, they're right, we do have to work incredibly hard, but nothing could be more natural, on the other hand, than plants that grow in the Amazon jungle. I think we should be open to the fact that there are a whole range of techniques and methods available to us,
yeah,
to uproot ourselves from the very narrow band of consciousness that we need in everyday material life, and to connect with something much wider. It's as though nature has taken a kind of belts and braces approach,
yeah,
to allowing humanity to escape from the prison of material reality. There are many techniques. I value and honor all of those techniques. Meditation,
yeah,
transcendental meditation, as,
yeah,
as a matter of fact, plays a role in my life.
Yeah.
I meditate for 20 minutes twice a day, every day.
That's
it's amazing. Very important to,
yeah,
me. And I found this to be an extremely helpful daily practice,
yeah,
which has also benefited me enormously,
mm-hmm,
creatively. I'm talking about transcendental meditation. It's been incredibly helpful to me. So when I speak about ayahuasca and its incredibly important role in my life, I'm first of all not insisting that that is for everybody. I'm not insisting,
yeah,
that that's the only way.
Yeah.
I'm saying that it's one of a range of techniques with ancient origins that have come down to us and that are always there to help us.
Yeah.
And all we need to do is to reach out and connect with one or many of those systems,
yeah,
and we will find that the unseen wider reality that has so much to teach us does become accessible to us.
So for those people who don't have the opportunity of, you know, journeying into the Amazon and doing ayahuasca, and it's a mom at home, and this consciousness, expanding consciousness, can be reached through
absolutely
meditation.
Absolutely. I say meditation is incredibly helpful. You know, this,
yeah,
is something that I hadn't realized before, mm-hmm, I was introduced to transcendental meditation. It was just how much the daily material world consumes our time. And,
yeah,
it takes us up in a constant rush and worry and hassle. And there are very minor things that we're concerned about,
yeah,
very often, but it's constantly preoccupying us. And it is a really excellent exercise
yeah.
to take a period of time, in my case it's 20 minutes twice a day,
yeah.
and just be silent, you yeah. know, and just go inwards, dive inwards, rather than going outwards all the
yeah.
time, and see what is in those inner realms. That period of silence and that period of peace amazingly allows consciousness to expand and grow and to dismiss all the constraints on it
yeah.
that outside material reality normally
yeah.
imposes. And anybody can do that. We can all find 20 minutes twice a day
yeah.
To be silent and to contemplate inward.
Yeah.
It's rightly said that the spirit working behind ayahuasca is a spirit that embodies love.
Mm-hmm.
There's a curious love and concern for the human race and for mm-hmm. the mistakes and errors that we make. You know, I've come to realize that we're here for a purpose.
Yeah.
And I believe, of course, I can't prove this, but mm-hmm. this is something that I've come to believe through my own experiences very strongly, that we're here incarnated in these bodies to learn and to grow and to develop. This as souls. This is. The Earth is an extraordinary, beautiful theatre of experience.
Mm.
It's an incredible gift and an incredible opportunity to be born in a human body on this planet with all the consequences
mm.
that go along with that.
Mm.
And one of the terrible things about our society is mm. that it denies that and it shuts us off from that. And materialist science, which has become the new religion of the modern mm. age, seeks to persuade us that there is no meaning and purpose, that we are simply accidents of chemistry and biology, and that when we die, we're dead, and there's nothing more. We're just our meat bodies. There's nothing else to us than that. That is the view of mainstream science.
So,
and many scientists will present that view as though it were a thoroughly researched fact, which it's not. It's just an opinion. It's just a belief system, as a matter of fact. It's a kind of religion of science. You know,
yes.
In a way.
Drive consumerism. You know, if you thought that was all you were, was this, you know, body, and you know, you would want to buy everything, experience everything, and you wouldn't care about each other. And that's what we're in.
Yeah, it's an unconscious state. And you wouldn't care about personal growth either, because there would be no point to personal growth, since when you're dead, you're dead,
yeah.
and nothing follows from it.
Yeah.
One of the ways that ayahuasca works with us
yeah.
Is to show us our own lives,
yeah.
Rather as at the moment of death, we often have a life review.
Yeah.
Ayahuasca will again and again give you the experience of a life review, and it will allow you to examine areas of how you behaved and how you conducted yourself
yeah.
and your impact upon others with absolute clarity. None of the illusions, none of the hiding places that
mm-hmm.
we duck behind to explain why we did this little cruelty or said that little harsh word here or there,
yeah.
or took advantage of another person or exploited another person in
yeah.
some way. We always have ways to explain this kind of thing to ourselves.
To justify it.
Yeah. Ayahuasca strips all that away,
yeah.
and it shows you as you really are, and it shows the impact that you've had on others as it really affected them. And this can be, at the level of personal development, a very painful and difficult experience to go through, because you suddenly realize that you're not the sweet, nice, gentle person that you thought you were,
yeah.
that you're somebody who's really got a whole lot more work to do. It is extremely difficult, I've learned this, to let go of a
yeah.
lifetime of bad habits. It's extremely difficult. At one level is the revelation, and at the other level is the integration of this into your life.
Yeah.
You know, people often say, oh, how can you talk about revelation or realization just because you've consumed some plants? It's too easy. Well, I'm sorry, that's not true. Yes, consuming
yeah.
the plants is easy, although hard work. But the difficult thing is taking what you learn from those experiences and integrating it into your life.
The journey, it just begins.
It just begins. It's integrating those realizations.
Yeah.
First of all, thank you to ayahuasca for
yeah.
giving us the gift of seeing what we really are.
Seems amazing. It really does seem amazing. And I do think what you said before about some, you know, what happened in the Dark Ages, that people were burnt at the stake, today is so accepted, and it feels like this is our dark age, this denial of growing consciousness, this just living in the bubble of mechanical culture.
I feel that, and this is an area where some people may not go with me, but I feel that light and dark are essential elements of the universe and of reality. I do believe that there are dark forces as well as positive forces at work in the universe. And it seems to me that some very dark and negative force has got its grip on the human race right now, which seems to be designed to shut down all that amazing potential that we were given by the universe, to narrow us down into a little place where we become just producers and consumers, where we become just cogs in the wheel of production and consumption, and where we are persuaded that there is no other meaning to life, where our consciousness is bombarded from morning to night by trivia and envious messages that encourage us to define ourselves in terms of what we possess, not in what we in terms of what we are. I can only explain this in the sense that there is some dark or negative force which wants to shut humanity down and which is manifesting through the kind of society that we've created. And therefore I see the visionary plants as liberating instruments, which allow us to see what is really going on, and to redirect our course in life, and to make something of this incredible gift that we've been given, rather than simply to throw it away.
You know, I love Terence McKenna, who said it's like a way of debugging everything that is being programmed into us. Yeah. And I love that, because it really is, you know, even if you realize, like you say, that we are all conditioned, it's very hard to stop that conditioning.
Very difficult.
And even once you realize it, it is a journey into, okay, I see where I've been conditioned, and this is, ayahuasca is a route to almost deconditioning yourself, seeing it, and then working on it. It's a work. It's not an easy.
It's absolutely a work.
Yeah.
I have. I'm very, very clear about that. Mm. It's a work. It requires will. It requires commitment, and it requires the willingness to make the changes that you're shown you need to make. That all has to be has to be part.
Did it make you happier?
Yes, I would say that I am more at peace with myself, at least because I feel that I've been given a chance to correct the errors that I've made in the past. We're all frail. We're all weak as human beings. We all make mistakes. But this journey of life allows us to put those mistakes right if we take the opportunity not to repeat the negative patterns that we were plunged in before, but to move on to something new. I'm not saying that I've become a perfect human being as a result of ayahuasca. What I'm saying is that I've been given the chance to improve myself and to be more positive and more nurturing to others around me, and to help others on their revelations that I've had while working with ayahuasca have been fundamental to that change, and also fundamental to bringing to fruition, I think, something that was already present in my personality, which is to question everything. So there's a lot to wake up to, and sometimes, you know, the thing that we regard as automatically good, we should question that too.
Don't you think you should question everything?
Yeah, we really should
question. Just question everything.
That's what the universe gave us, these amazing things called our brains, to do, not to accept, but to question. That's part of our fundamental birthright as human beings.
We should accept nothing, and we should question everything.
Yeah.
Really. Don't take anything just because it's given to you or because you read it in the book, unless it's grains.
No, don't take that out. Really, don't accept anything at face value.
Yeah.
And don't just accept something because you're told it's so. But to have the experience yourself and then come to your own conclusions. It's one of the main problems that I have with mainstream religion, as it is today, is the unthought-out acceptance of a series of propositions that simply because one is born into a culture where one's parents and certain officials tell you that things are so, one is supposed to accept that, and this is often backed up with ferocious sanctions and fear,
driven indoctrination,
and all it is a body of opinion And nothing more than that. There are no facts in these areas, and more and more with the mainstream religions, there are no experiences either.
Yeah.
It's like a huge grey bureaucracy.
Yeah.
That is totally out of contact with the realm of spirit.
Yeah.
And that yet interposes itself between humanity and the realm of spirit and says this is the only way to do things. And I think where we're moving forward to.
Mm.
And where the visionary plants and the ancient shamanistic technologies are there to help us, is a world in which we base our ideas of the nature of reality on experience rather than on what we're told. And that's what's fundamental about ayahuasca, you know, because ayahuasca is not a system that is taught to you by men or women who call themselves priests. It's not that kind of system at all.
Yeah.
It is an experience.
Yeah.
It is an experience. And when you have that experience, you are then in a position to make some decisions about it. It's not a body of knowledge that has been passed down by human beings. Yes, how to work with ayahuasca, that is a body of knowledge.
Yes.
There are certain things that shamans have realized it's wise to do with ayahuasca, that it's better not to work with ayahuasca on your own. It's better to be part of a circle. It's better to have a wise and experienced guide who's worked with the plant hundreds or thousands of times before, and is able to help those who go through difficulties.
Yeah.
That it's better to create a ceremonial and a respectful atmosphere to surround this experience. All of that is passed down knowledge, but the experience itself, that's between you and the plant.
Yeah.
That's something that directly happens to you, and which you can then make your own decisions about. As Dennis McKenna, the brother of Terence, has said, in this sense, it's the ultimate skeptic's challenge, you know, because you're actually confronted by an experience, and then you must decide what you do with that experience. Mm. I feel that I was incredibly lucky to cross the path of Mother Ayahuasca, and I feel that it will be a lifelong journey.
And relationship.
Yeah. And working with ayahuasca continues to teach me. I mean, I've been drinking ayahuasca now for nearly 10 years. But just last year in Brazil, I had a series of absolutely earth-shaking experiences with ayahuasca that caused me to make very significant changes in my life. Changes that I never thought that I would even consider making. And I have made those changes and integrated those changes into what I do with the rest of my days on this planet.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm grateful that there is this mysterious loving entity who is prepared sometimes to put us through the mill in order to shake us out of complacency and make us think again about everything that we do.
And to actually make this opportunity to live a life which is such a gift count.
Make it count because what we have been given, billions of years of evolution, this gorgeous, amazing garden of a planet, the beauty and the mystery that surrounds us everywhere. How can we come here to this amazing place and just sit in front of the television for 70 years, you know?
It's just
listening to reality TV, or listening to the pronouncements of the state, or for that matter, listening to the endless regurgitation of liturgy by religious figures. We are here to experience. We are here to learn and to grow and to develop. It's a precious opportunity. For all we know, we may not get that opportunity very often.
Yeah.
You know, we have to grab it with both hands and make the most of it.
Part of
making the most of it is not being a negative influence on others.
Yeah.
That's also part of it. It's not just a matter of me grabbing experience.
No.
Part of it is learning to be nurturing and positive.
Yeah.
You know, rather than toxic and negative.
Yeah.
This is part of the process. And if we can go through life and come out of it feeling that we've done some kindness and some good along the way, as well as learning and growing and developing, then I think the ancient Egyptians had it right that you're given this opportunity of life.
Mm.
And it's like creating a work of art that you get, you know, 70 or 80 or 90, however many years you get.
Yeah.
Can be a bit random. You get these years to create this work of art.
Yeah.
And you just gradually work away on it like a sculpture over the years. And
yeah.
at the end of it, ideally, you should be able to stand back and look at the artwork
yeah.
of your life
yeah.
and say, I did good.
I did good. I did a good job. I'm proud of the book I wrote.
Yeah, yeah. I realized I'd been given an incredible opportunity
yeah.
and I did something worthwhile with it.
Yeah.
And I came out of it wiser than I went in.
That's amazing. Graham, thank you so much. Let's hope that these amazing planetary gifts that we've been given, like ayahuasca, one day are not sitting in the dark ages and are very available to all of us to grow our own individual consciousness, to really wake up so that we can come to an end and say, really am proud of the life I lived with the opportunity and the gift that I was given. So thank you very much.
Thank you
very much.